Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, March 25th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Jane Helms. Jane is a receptionist and financial assistant at Mountain Brook Baptist, so you've probably seen Jane sitting at the desk or you've heard her on the phone when you've called the church. After Jane reads the Project 119 readings, she and I will sit down and talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Jane, for joining the podcast today.
You're very welcome. I'm excited to be here. Today, our first reading comes from Exodus chapter 9, verses 13 through 35, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. In this passage, Moses is approaching the Pharaoh yet again upon God's command to urge him to let his people go. I'll begin with verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Tell him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so they can worship me. If you don't, I will send more plagues on you and your officials and your people. Then you will know that there is no one like me in all the earth. By now I could have lifted my hand and struck you and your people with a plague to wipe you off the face of the earth. But I have spared you for a purpose, to show you my power and to spread my fame throughout the earth. But you still lord it over my people and refuse to let them go. So tomorrow, at this time, I will send a hailstorm more devastating than any in all the history of Egypt. Quick, order your livestock and servants to come in from the fields to find shelter. Any person or animal left outside will die when the hail falls.' Some of Pharaoh's officials were afraid because of what the Lord had said. They quickly brought their servants and livestock in from the fields. But those who had paid no attention to the word of the Lord left theirs out in the open. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Lift your hand toward the sky so hail may fall on the people, the livestock, and all the plants throughout the land of Egypt.' So Moses lifted his staff toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and lightning flash towards the earth. The Lord sent a tremendous hailstorm against all the land of Egypt. Never in all the history of Egypt had there been a storm like that, with such devastating hail and continuous lightning. It left all of Egypt in ruins. The hail struck down everything in the open field, people, animals, and plants alike. Even the trees were destroyed. The only place without hail was the region of Goshen, where the people of Israel lived. Then Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron. 'This time I have sinned,' he confessed. 'The Lord is the righteous one, and my people and I are wrong. Please beg the Lord to end this terrifying thunder and hail. We've had enough. I will let you go. You don't need to stay any longer.' 'All right,' Moses replied. 'As soon as I leave the city, I will lift my hands and pray to the Lord. Then the thunder and hail will stop, and you will know that the earth belongs to the Lord. But I know that you and your officials still do not fear the Lord God.' All the flax and barley were ruined by the hail, because the barley had formed heads and the flax was budding. But the wheat and the emmer wheat were spared, because they had not yet sprouted from the ground. So Moses left Pharaoh's court and went out of the city. When he lifted his hands to the Lord, the thunder and hail stopped, and the downpour ceased. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain, hail, and thunder had stopped, he and his officials sinned again, and Pharaoh again became stubborn. Because his heart was hard, Pharaoh refused to let the people live, just as the Lord had predicted through Moses." Our scripture today from the book of Psalms comes from Psalms 93. "The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty. Indeed, the Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Your throne, O Lord, has stood from time immemorial. You yourself are from the everlasting past. The floods have risen up, O Lord. The floods have roared like thunder. The floods have lifted their pounding waves. But mightier than the violent raging of the seas, mightier than the breakers on the shore, the Lord above is mightier than these. Your royal laws cannot be changed. Your reign, O Lord, is holy forever and ever. Our New Testament reading today comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Very familiar story for us this time of year. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for until then they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said, "Jesus must rise from the dead." Then they went home.
Thank you so much, Jane, for joining the podcast today. You are such a pleasure to work with, and I want the people who are listening to the podcast to get to know you better. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up, and how did you make it to Birmingham?
I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, and actually was adopted through the Baptist Children's Home in New Orleans. And my parents were living in Birmingham at the time and were attending Southside Baptist. Part of the adoption agreement was that I would be raised in the Baptist church. So there you go. I started my life in the Baptist church at Southside, and then my parents followed John Wiley to Vestavia Hills Baptist, and I grew up there.
And you still attend Vestavia Hills Baptist, correct?
I do. I finished high school and went to Tuscaloosa to school, stayed 20 years, came back, and returned home to church.
Yes, you go to Vestavia, and then you work here at another Baptist church. How did you become engaged in the life of Mountain Brook Baptist Church?
It was all a God thing. The children's minister at Vestavia Hills Baptist was a good friend, and we spent time together. I had retired from teaching about 14 years ago now to take care of my mother, who was ill. And after she passed away, I was kind of at odds. I was not used to being at home with nothing to do. You can only eat out with friends so often. And I voiced to Nancy, our children's minister, that I wanted maybe a part-time job. A day or two after our discussion, Nancy got an email from Sharon Howard saying, "We need a part-time receptionist. Do you know anybody?" Nancy told me about the need and asked if I was interested. And I said, sure. So she called Alvin Pelton, who was then one of the pastors. As it turns out, she had done an internship at First Baptist in Huntsville while Alvin was there. So she knew Alvin. And she told Alvin that she had somebody she would like for him to talk to. And I came in and interviewed and ended up, that was over 10 years ago now.
And tell me a little bit about your job. What do you do for Mountain Brook Baptist?
Well, most people who are listening will probably recognize my voice because most of what I do is answer the phone. I take reservations for any upcoming events like the Active Christian Living Luncheon. I take care of the attendance for Sunday school. And I also spend one day a week in the back with Debbie Hicks as her assistant.
Jane, I want just a few fun facts about you. Tell us your favorite kind of dessert.
Plain old pound cake.
Nothing chocolate, correct?
Nothing chocolate.
She's not a chocolate fan.
Not a chocolate fan.
Tell us your favorite pastime. What do you like to do?
I love to read.
Is there a book that you've read recently that you would commend to us?
I did. I read a book called Rocket Boys, and it's an autobiography by a man who grew up in a small coaling town up in West Virginia who went on to become an engineer at NASA. And it was actually lent to me by a member here at the church. That's something I've enjoyed, was getting to know people here in the church and sharing things we enjoy. So I've really enjoyed getting to know the people that come in and out during the day while I'm at the desk.
Tell me about your teaching career.
My mother was a teacher. And when I was in high school, I was determined that I was not going to be a teacher. That was not what I wanted to spend my life doing. I've always loved children, And at one point, I really thought maybe I would be a pediatrician. And then I worked as a candy striper at what was then Montclair Hospital. And one of the little fellas that I interacted with, little 18-month-old fella, passed away. And I said, oh no, I'm not going to be a doctor where children die. Nope, that is not what I want to do. So I started college, and I started out as maybe social work. And I thought, no, that's not a long enough relationship with children. So then I kind of transitioned to special ed. There was a gentleman in my church growing up that I had known just about all my life who had had polio as a child. You would never know that he was handicapped, but walked with crutches and with braces and did anything he wanted to do. In fact, he and his brother built the house I grew up in. And I thought, you know, maybe that's what I need to do, is work with children with disabilities to help them be the best that they can be and to be as independent as they can be. So I ended up in special education. So for 31 years, that's what I did. All grade levels, kindergarten through 12th grade, and some amazing experiences, some children who are still in my heart today, and some experiences where I know that God was very much at work.
That's wonderful. I would love to hear just one of those stories of God's faithfulness in the midst of your vocation.
You know, I said I did not want a vocation where children died. Well, while I was teaching in Hoover, I had a little girl, sixth grader, who came to me after her parents found that she had an inoperable brain tumor. And bless her heart, that child had more spunk and more life than just about anybody I knew. And the year that I spent with her taught me so much about living rather than dying. She was just a light wherever she went, and she only made it through about half of her seventh grade year before passing away. But to this day, I remember her fondly and the impact that she had on not just her teachers, but other students and on me.
Tell me a little bit, Jane, about your son. I know you have one son. Tell me about him.
I do have a son. He's 32 years old, and he currently works at Grandview Hospital in the emergency room. Andrew is also adopted. He was adopted through, of all things, Catholic Family Services here in Birmingham. So that is a very unique bond that we share. And I'm kind of grateful for that, because that's not a bond that many parents are fortunate enough to share.
Jane teaches Sunday school at Vestavia Hills. Tell us a little bit about that ministry. And then if you want to comment any about the scriptures that we read today, we'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, I told you earlier, I love children and taught several years in the children's department at my church, and then worked for 4 years in the youth department. And then, of all things, joined an adult Sunday school class. Oh my goodness, I didn't know what to do being in there with a room full of adults. A situation came up where we needed a teacher for our class, and I volunteered to fill in for a couple of weeks. And about 5 years later, I'm still doing it. Working with adults, I never felt was my call. That I always felt like that God intended me to work with children. And I have to admit that sometimes I just have to decide they're children in bigger, older bodies. Mm-hmm. But I do love my class. We have a wonderful class. You know, the scripture that we read today, in Alabama, hailstorms and floods and thunder and lightning are just part of our daily lives. We expect it every spring, every summer, every fall, every winter. And to realize that God used that as a tool to get the attention of the Pharaoh, to give him the opportunity and the impetus to let the Hebrews go, to let God's children go to freedom. My goodness, he's still using those things, and not so much to release us from slavery, but to give us opportunities to serve. Because every time one of our communities is hit by hail, by flood, by storms, we have the opportunity to step in and share the wealth that God has given us with the people in need. And so that scripture is still so relevant today. And then the scripture about the resurrection. We are almost to the season when we concentrate on the resurrection. The fact that God's word was fulfilled, and the promise that we live with daily as Christians, that through Christ's resurrection, we indeed will live in a life eternal with him in heaven. What a blessing.
On that note, Jane, would you end our time together with prayer?
Father God, you so graciously and generously bless each of us every single day. Lord, you send people into our lives to make an impact when so many times we don't see it till we get past it. We thank you for the times that you give us opportunities to use the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that you have given us. I pray that as we go into the season of Lent and look forward to the time of resurrection, that you renew the spirit within us to share that love, that story, and that promise with others. In Jesus' name, amen.